We have put up a new verse on the sign out there. You may have seen it today. And it is a verse of my personal testimony. Romans chapter 5 and verse 6. Christ died for the ungodly. So that's what we're proclaiming to the world. And this is Palm Sunday. So we are going to take this opportunity to especially think about our Savior's triumphal entry, as we have been doing already with our singing and with our scripture reading. Luke chapter 19, and we begin reading with the verse 29. Luke 19, 29. And when he had thus spoken, he went before, ascending up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he was come nigh to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, Go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him, and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, Why do you loose him? Thus shall you say unto him, Because the Lord hath need of him. When they that were sent went their way and found, even as he had said unto them, and as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, Why loose ye the colt? And they said, The Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon, and as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, If thou hadst known, even thou at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee, that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee round, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. Amen. We end our reading there with the 44th verse. And we trust that today, God who gave the Word, God the Holy Spirit, who used holy men of old, would come even this day and use this feeble preacher to preach his word, to bless the people of God, and even to bring those who are strangers to grace to the Savior today for his own name's sake. The great annual feast of Passover was about to be celebrated. It was the first day of the week for Passover week. And our Lord Jesus Christ was making His triumphal entry into the city of Jerusalem. His hour had come. And He was now demonstrating publicly what He had not been willing to publicly demonstrate before. That He was the Messiah, the Promised One, the Redeemer of Israel, and indeed the Redeemer of His blood-bought people all over the world. Multitudes of people were following him. And all along the road, the people that came ahead of him laid down their coats and they broke off palm branches, thus paving the way for the great king. Thousands of visitors were already in Jerusalem because of the celebration of Passover. And when they heard that he was coming, they went out to meet him. And they were crying, "Hosanna! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." A great number of these people were from the same region where our Savior grew up. They were Galileans. They were there for the feast along with the other huge crowds who knew that Jesus had just recently raised a man in Bethany from the dead. Remember Lazarus? The multitudes were simply waiting for a signal from Jesus, and they would gladly and forcefully make him their king and join with him zealously in driving out the Roman soldiers and all the Roman rulers. But he gave them no signal. Instead, he went in and cleansed the temple for the second time. He drove out the money changers. And he said, "My Father's house is to be the house of prayer for all nations." He healed some lame people and some blind people there. And the Pharisees came to him, wanting him to stop the people from shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David." And Christ told them, "If the people do not praise, the very stones themselves will cry out." Our Savior with His apostles, after being there for just a little while, then returned to Bethany for a night's rest. On this Palm Sunday morning, I want to ask three questions of this passage that we have read. First of all, why did Jesus choose to enter Jerusalem in this manner? Why did Jesus choose to enter Jerusalem in this manner? And then secondly, what did Jesus reveal by borrowing the donkey? What did Jesus reveal by borrowing the donkey? And then lastly, how did Jesus publicly demonstrate the fickleness of human nature? How did Jesus publicly demonstrate the fickleness of human nature? First of all, why did Jesus choose to enter Jerusalem in this way? Jesus had always before sought to keep a low public profile. When his enemies tried to capture him, what did he do? He just very easily slipped through the crowd and walked away, showing his escapes, his awesome wisdom and power. But not only did his enemies try to take him, his followers actually wanted to take him and to make him king by force. And what did he do then? He simply walked away and hid himself in a mountain. But now, after 3 years of not lifting up his voice in the streets, Jesus knew that his hour had come. In the very next chapter, after the triumphal entry in John's Gospel, in chapter 13, verse 1, we read this. "Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end." Jesus knew that his greatest work was just right ahead of him. And the whole world needed to know about that great work, because for them, it was the truly good news. The manner that Jesus chose for his triumphal entry announced the great public event that would soon be accomplished at the Passover. It would be the night of the Passover that he was betrayed, which was, according to the Jewish manner of time, the very evening of the morning following when he would be put on the cross. Jesus used this event to get the very response that he was aiming for. In John chapter 12, verse 19, the Pharisees complained, "Behold, the world is gone after him." They were mad. They were sad because here all of the people were flocking to Jesus. His death on the cross, therefore, in a few days after this entry, would not be forgotten. It wouldn't be forgotten by his enemies. It wouldn't be forgotten by his followers. It would even be remembered by the strangers and the passers-by at the time of that awesome event. This great event was not done in a corner. It was done publicly and openly. And last but not least, the Lord Jesus Christ chose this way to enter Jerusalem because he knew that he was fulfilling the ancient prophecy. He knew all the Old Testament. He's God, but he's also man. And as man, he had very carefully, from his childhood, studied the Scriptures of the Old Testament. And he knew so much of it by heart, even as the Son of Man. He knew that 500 years before that time, the prophet Zechariah had written in his book, chapter 9 and verse 9, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass." Very important that both of them are mentioned, the colt and the mother in the prophecy, because they're both recorded in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 21. Jesus Christ knew that He is the true King, bringing salvation and glad tidings. So He was very happy to fulfill that prophecy. And just as certainly as every Scripture about His first advent has been completely fulfilled, even so every word about His second coming will one day be fulfilled and totally finished. Why did Jesus enter so majestically? He was publicly announcing the fulfillment of Scripture concerning the greatest event in the history of the whole world: His soon coming crucifixion for our sins. The second question is this: what did Jesus reveal by borrowing a donkey? There are several things that Jesus Christ shows us by simply borrowing a donkey. First of all, His omniscience. His omniscience is always constant. He knows all things. We have our satellites, we have our cell phones, we have our computers. But the Lord Jesus Christ did not need such thing as Google Earth to hone in on some little spot on Earth. The Lord Jesus Christ could not only see on the outside, He could not only see where these donkeys were in the village. Long before, He had seen Nathanael miles away sitting under a fig tree. And Nathanael was so shocked when He told him that he said, "Thou art the King of Israel." And the Lord Jesus said, "You're going to see greater things than this." He could see those donkeys far, far away. He could see what they were doing. He knew exactly what their masters would say. There is nothing hidden from our Lord's all-seeing, almighty eyes. You know very well how your heart sometimes skips a beat when you are driving too fast and you come over the hill and there you see a vehicle with a little plastic thing on top that does sometimes different colors. And immediately your foot has a response. Isn't that amazing? That we respond in such ways to divinely ordained authority. But how much more should we respond moment by moment of every day to the one who has absolute authority over us in himself and knows all about us? The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. You know this, you cannot hide from God. He sees through the darkest night, not only what we are doing and what we are saying, but what our thoughts are, our motives, and our intentions. So, Google Earth is rather weak because the Lord not only sees into our homes and sees us in our homes, He pierces even into our very thoughts, our motives, our intentions. You cannot hide from God. His knowledge is complete. He sees all, and we are fully accountable to Him. I was hoping my mother would be able to be here today. I often remember my father. And I miss my father very much. My dad and I spent literally years together working on the farm. I mean, if we just simply took all those different hours on the different days and put them together, I believe they would amount to years. My dad was always, just very often building something. He did a lot of building things. And I remember working with him, and I was an older teen at the time, and he told me about his sense of God always seeing us. My dad worked in a factory, and he told me about a woman that worked with him there who invited him to sin with her. And he simply said to her, "No, ma'am, I know God. I can't hide my sin from Him. And if I did sin with you, my descendants would probably end up being just like you." Well, this matter of borrowing the donkey also reveals Christ's omnipotence, His sovereignty, as well as His omniscience and seeing all things. All power is His. He controls history. The winds and the waves obey Him. Devils and diseases must obey Him. Men possessing donkeys must obey Him. His disciples went and they obeyed Him. And so must we. If you know what's good for you, you will obey Him and His Word. This Almighty Jesus Christ had to let the soldiers take Him captive, or He would never have been taken. All He had to do was speak. And John 18 verse 6 tells us that they were pinned to the ground just by His speaking. Why did Jesus Christ not resist His enemies at last? He could have destroyed them all. He willingly suffered to save His enemies. Christ was not overcome by superior power or brute force, but He was overcome by something. It was the great love that He had for poor lost sinners. So He gave Himself for us. The borrowing of the donkey reveals Christ's omniscience, His omnipotence, but also His humility. He didn't enter Jerusalem riding on a war horse armed to the teeth. No. He came, as Zechariah 9:9 foretold, lowly and having salvation. He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He humbled Himself. He's the Creator of the whole universe. He's the owner of it all. Yet He humbled Himself to be poor, to be a man without the riches of this world. And this Scripture is very amazing. Look down at verse 34. And they said, "The Lord hath need of Him." Isn't that amazing? That such a being who made and owns all things would humble Himself to have needs. He needed these donkeys. Isn't that something? He borrowed a boat from which to preach. He borrowed a boat to go across the Sea of Galilee. He borrowed a donkey to ride into the city of Jerusalem. And at last, he borrowed a tomb to be buried in. He who fed thousands was at times himself hungry. He who could cast out devils was tempted of the devil. He who raised the dead gave himself to die. He so humbled himself to know and to feel our needs. And now he lives and he reigns and he intercedes for us. And he is touched with a feeling of our needs and of our infirmities because he's been here. Even living on a lower level than we live on. The borrowing of the donkey reveals Christ's omniscience, his omnipotence, his humility, but also his gentleness. Matthew 21 verse 2 and Zechariah 9:9 each put the donkey and its mother together. Christ sent two disciples to bring two donkeys. This shows Christ's gentleness. As Spurgeon said, Jesus would not cause the colt or the mother any suffering by taking one apart from the other. How wonderful to serve such a tender and such a gentle King. This shows Christ's gentleness and His power. For you read in verse 30 of this chapter that nobody had ever sat on the back of that colt. And yet, because of this awesome person, with His gentleness and His sovereign power, the colt didn't resist. It didn't throw him off. It didn't buck him. Isn't that amazing? And so it is with our hearts. He is that gentle with our hearts. He is no cruel tyrant, but He's gentle as He reigns over us in love. He does not save us in order to repress us, but to lavish His goodness upon us. Now last, under the matter of the donkey, what does the Lord reveal even by borrowing a donkey? Christ was revealing that His kingdom is like no other kingdom. He is like no other king. Who is He? He is the King of Kings. No Roman soldier seeing Christ ride the donkey would report hastily to his centurion that a man was riding into Jerusalem for the purpose of driving out Pilate to gain independence for Israel by the use of the bloody sword. No, he was coming in meekness, in lowliness, bringing salvation. Now finally, the third question. How did Jesus publicly demonstrate the fickleness of human nature? He rode a donkey into Jerusalem to do something altogether different from what the crowds were expecting. Multitudes were awaiting simply a signal from Him to begin the bloody work of ridding Palestine of the Romans. They cried, "Hosanna," which literally means "save now." They wanted to be saved from the Romans. But the Lord was riding in to save them from far worse enemies than the Romans. The Lord Jesus was riding into Jerusalem to save the people from their sins and from their lusts and from the consequences of both, which are greater and more subtle tyrants, more hideous enemies than Romans ever were. The multitudes cried, "Blessed is He!" But in a few days, they would consider Him a curse. Here is a striking example of popularity's worthlessness. Today they cry, "Hosanna in the highest." Soon they will cry, "Away with Him! Crucify Him!" Wretched humanity is consumed with the idolatry of self. And as such, people were only interested in him for what they could get from him. If he'll not drive out the Romans, we have no use for him. Let him die. They couldn't see what he was doing. Oh, the fickleness of human nature. Do you dare trust your human nature? I tell you this, I'm afraid of mine. I can't trust myself. Well, the praise of men is here today and gone tomorrow. Many people feed on the praise of men. They live for what others think of them. They live only on the tidal wave of popularity. But how soon it's gone. How quickly it evaporates. My friend, don't waste your life and your soul on such folly as human opinion. It won't last. Get a real, a solid foundation for eternity. Rest your soul on the Christ of God. This account of the triumphal entry was that indeed. The mighty victor was riding forth conquering and to conquer. Oh, the power of His gospel. From His death and from His mighty cross work flows all the blessings and all the hopes that we have. Oh, prize His death. Rejoice in His blood. Believe His resurrection and trust in His intercession. Say what the multitudes said that day, but say it from the very depth and the meaning of your heart. Hosanna! Save now is what it means. If you cry that to Him, He will do it. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we are thankful for such a mighty gift that Thou hast graced us with, giving Thine own well-beloved Son for us. And Lord, we confess that they did not know what they were doing. And Lord Jesus, we praise Thee for the prayer from the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And Lord, we confess that if the princes of this world had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But oh, so great an advantage for us it is that our Savior was crucified for us to take away our sin. We thank Thee. We pray that Thou wilt bless Thy truth through our hearts today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.